El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You might hear just a little roughness, a little thickness in the throat, because yesterday I had throat problems. Those were the minor technical issues we were talking about on our homepage. And I still do have a little bit of a sore throat. It's probably allergies, because I feel great. I mean, I don't feel like I've got any kind of a cold.
You just, your throat is tight.
Yeah, does it feel like you got something in there?
It feels like there's phlegm.
Yeah, but what does it feel like?
What does it feel like? Does it feel like you swallowed something?
You know, I can see the look on his face.
I do, too. Watch it, bud.
No, I didn't do anything wrong.
Well, you said you wanted
to... Just watch it.
And you got something in your mouth? Sounds like you swallowed something.
I don't sound like that.
Yeah, you know, you sound worse. Anyway, welcome to the program. I have an allergy, I think. I used to get allergies when I was in my 20s, and I was working in Florida at the time, and we, on weekends, let's say you go out and play baseball. You know, we used to have pickup games of baseball or football, but mostly baseball. And the reason why I say that is you're out playing on these, you know, fields. There, it might be some school field or some ball diamond someplace. Ball diamond, that sounds...
Sounds almost obscene, doesn't it?
Does.
What's that?
A baseball diamond, a baseball...
Yeah, but you said ball diamond, man.
Yeah, ball diamond.
Okay. A baseball diamond, a baseball field.
What is a ball diamond?
The baseball field is shaped like a diamond. Would you agree with that, Margaret?
Yes, you don't have to get all angry, Phil.
I'm not angry.
Well, you're going, baseball field. You look like you were... You looked almost Hitler-esque.
Yeah, you did. There was a Hitler looking in your eye.
Yes.
What is wrong with people? Are you serious?
Yeah, you do, Miss Sarah. You know, whenever you talk like that, you get scary looking.
You know, I heard that from my friend Amir today. She was saying, Phil, you got to watch your level of your voice. I said, why? She said, you come across sounding really angry sometimes. I said, I'm not angry. She goes, no, I know, but when you raise your voice, it has this force behind it that you're not really aware of. I said, you mean I have power and I have a commanding presence? And she began to go,
yes. Oh, she did not. I know Amir. She's a sweet girl. How dare you?
I'm kidding. Joking around. No, but she did say, no, your voice is really... I said, okay, I'm sorry. I apologize, Margaret.
Yes, you're going the baseball diamond.
Yeah, you're all like you're going to beat up a woman and stuff.
I'm not going to beat a woman up. The baseball diamond is shaped like a... Obviously, the field is like a diamond, and so a ball, baseball...
Well, but that's, you know, basketball.
Right, that's true, and I don't want to sound angry when I say that why would you play basketball on a diamond-shaped field?
Maybe the
basketball court's taken.
Maybe the basketball court's taken. I don't know.
Maybe the basketball court's taken.
I don't know, Phil. I just wanted to know why it's called a ball diamond, or was that some sort of sexual device, okay?
Yeah, like a ball gag.
Like a ball gag. Okay, no, it's not a ball gag.
They don't call a ball gag.
What?
Where they play baseball.
They don't put... They don't...
Easy.
All right. So anyway, on a ball diamond, I'd be out there, baseball diamond. Not the ball gag, not the ball diamond, the baseball diamond...
Dog, ball gag.
You get out of here, I'm going to kick your ass. The baseball diamond, and I'm out there in the middle of the field, and, you know, you got all that hay fever jazz, man. You got all that whatever the hell it is.
Well, there's all kinds of ragweed.
Yeah, pussy willow.
Yeah, pussy willow.
Okay.
And, I don't know, crabgrass.
Pussy willow. I didn't get ow!
I'm going to belt you, man, so hard you will never do another radio show again. Yeah, so that's what happened. And you wind up taking all that stuff, and you wind up dragging your ass around because it's tiring, and you're just pooped, and you know, yeah. But thankfully, that stuff went away in terms of the sneezing kind of allergy. But now I have these allergies that, yes, make it feel like I've got a very tightly constricted throat, and I need water, and I need liquids, and I need beer, and I need vodka. And unfortunately, because we're doing the show, we can't have any of the beer or the vodka. But one of these days, man, I'm going to tell you, one of these days. All right. So in the hard and fast world of news, you know, there's all kinds of stuff happening with the IRS. You know, did you see all this?
Well, I saw some things today, yes.
And Obama. But for the purposes of our radio show, I just wanted to let everybody know, I don't mean to be a jackball about this, but it just it's come to my attention as we go through our social media day, and this is kind of how our show deals with big news like Obama, the IRS commissioner resigning, and all of that stuff, is that when we're over on Facebook, I already see so much disparaging stuff about Obama on Facebook. And believe me, when I tell you, I'm not the world's biggest Obama fan. I did vote for him. But, that's neither here nor there because I voted for Bush. So, you can't really say that I'm one thing or the other. But I when I'm over on Facebook, I see so much stuff about Obama. And the other stuff, can I just say something, Facebook, and you guys that are on Facebook, not you guys that are listening necessarily, but you've seen this. When you have a monkey with the hair cut like Michelle Obama, you see, that's really racist, even though you think it's funny and you're going, ah, and you didn't mean anything by it, etc. You see what I'm saying?
Where are you seeing that?
On Facebook.
Facebook, I told you about, yeah, I'd be on a Twitter.
I'm on Twitter. I'm on all of it, man. You know, I mean, there's still people who don't get it. You see, if you say to them, wow, man, that's kind of rough.
Well, what? What's wrong with that, man?
No, dude. No. Let me just say this. Oh, and by the way, the guy with the, speaking of Twitter, the guy with the account, I'm just speaking as American now, folks. I'm not talking about a liberal or if you're a conservative, you ought to be outraged by that. If you're an American, you ought to be outraged. Here's one. This is a guy's got a Twitter handle. Kill Obama now. That's the guy's Twitter handle.
You are lying.
No. Which guy is that?
The guy's got a name, but that's his Twitter handle. Kill Obama now.
That's the one where you said you and Barry Louise mentioned it.
Yeah, Barry Louise told me about it. I saw it. So we both tweeted something at the guy like, what are you, some kind of a jackass? Are you just looking for trouble, man? The Secret Service, the long arm of the law, the long shadow of the Secret Service is going to fall over your bowl of chop suey any minute now, bud.
Yay!
Cut. So, Are you okay?
I'm speechless. And the other thing I'm speechless about is this picture of B. Arthur on the homepage.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Take it easy.
This picture of B. Arthur on your homepage is absolutely disgusting. It shows her topless, and they sag,
Well, I mean,
why is that there?
Because it's being auctioned off for a pretty penny. It's apparently a very valuable piece of art. It's by John Curran, 1991, B. Arthur Naked. It's a famous painting. It was painted in 91, and I guess now they're auctioning this thing off. And I saw it on Facebook.
You just got done talking about what a racist pit Facebook is, and now we know that it's misogynistic, and look at the pair.
Yeah, look at that, man.
Listen to you, look at the pair.
Well, they're obviously she's not elderly, but she's middle-aged there, and they're just pointed directly at the pavement.
Well, so what are you being so, why are you being so graphic about it?
I don't think it's very, very flattering.
How do you know she didn't pose for it?
Are you high on something that only the Army uses? What are you?
Yeah, Mr. Fanning, it's like you're high on something that the military's experimenting on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so we're all in agreement on that.
Well, I mean, what are you talking about, man? She posed for it.
I don't know. She's an artist. B. Arthur was, I say, God rest her soul. She's an artist. And artists do artistic things, and they like to sit for other artists if he paints. B. Arthur is an actress, you know. I doubt it. I'm just asking. I don't think she did. I think that this is something he just did from his, who knows, imagination or whatever.
Well, what is the point of this? Why do you have that on your homepage?
I thought it was a very controversial, I thought it was very eye-catching. The painting has been around since 1991, and it was, in point of fact, something that had caught the attention of the art world and the public for a while, and then it kind of went out of circulation, if you will, and now it's back in the public eye in the news because of the auction or the sale of this thing. Now, I think that it's a, if you want, you're asking me what I think the meaning of it is.
No, I didn't ask you that.
Well, I'm going to tell you anyway.
Oh, God.
You're going to give us an art lecture?
Yes. I think because we sexualize celebrities, as well as just about everybody, but sexualize celebrities, and B. Arthur at this time was doing Golden Girls. Wasn't that on the air?
I don't know. Possibly.
Well, I think that what he did was essentially say, here she is, nude, because sooner or later, Hugh Hefner's going to call her up. Well,
yeah, Hugh Hefner, are you kidding me or something? Hugh Hefner only has number one women. He doesn't have, you know, high school dropouts.
Yeah, that's what Buddy Rich said.
That's the way Buddy Rich was talking to musicians, and you're talking about a woman posing topless?
Yeah, high school dropout.
I don't know.
All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show, so enough about that. Maybe we'll change the picture before the end of the night. Fred White, a beloved broadcaster with the Kansas City Royals, has passed away, 76 years of age. And Charles Darwin, was he right? Was he wrong? Well, he might have been wrong about certain things and right about other things. They're saying that he was wrong about something that's not all that big of a deal, but he was right about evolution. I don't know. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, Dr. Ron Tarner to talk about that with us when we come back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. This is Customer Appreciation Month, May, all this month. If you buy a subscription to the Phil Henry Show website, you get free downloads from our store, from our shop, from our online shop. Just go to philhenryshow.com. We have live streaming video every night of the show, along with the audio, of course. We are available on all devices. We are mobile on your iPhone, mobile on your Droid, mobile on this, and the mobile on the that, and the mobile on the iPad, mobile on the iPod.
Yeah, what a weird ass.
Well, I just felt like, you know...
Was it
hip-hop. That I was not hip-hop.
No, it wasn't hip-hop. But we're mobile, all right? So hop on down.
Lame.
Yeah. To hop on down to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. Join our BSP family. It's dysfunctional. It's weird. There's some people that are members of our BSP family that are criminals, that are on the run. It's sick.
Are you kidding?
I don't have any knowledge, specific knowledge, but I wouldn't be surprised. Dr. Ron Tarner in transit to his home in Cloverdale, Colorado, from Denver, where he works at the University of Denver. Part of the time, Dr. Tarner is a teacher and is also an astronomer at the observatory there in Cloverdale. And welcome, Ron, to the program.
Well, Phil, thank you for having me on your program.
And we wanted to talk a little bit about Charles Darwin.
A very good topic is Charles Darwin. Can I mention something to you? And this is in concert with something you were saying during the break. About the votes?
Well, we were talking during the break, folks, about who is going to and how will the homeowners and the property owners of people involved in that that melee, the shooting and the shootout with the two Boston Marathon bombers and all of the bullets that were fired and the buildings that were hit. And my God, just exactly who winds up picking up the tab. I hate to put it that way, but they showed one of the homeowners.
Well, I did. I saw the gentleman. I forget his name. I saw him talking to one of the correspondents from CNN about his home. And he was showing quite sizable holes in the wood paneling on the side of the house from these... bullets that were fired by either by the police or by the perpetrators. But I have a very good friend, Terry Fox, who lives out at Newport Beach, who lost his power boat. He had a 35-foot V-bottom that he had used for racing and occasionally took it over to Catalina. He lost it for an RPG, Phil.
A rocket-propelled grenade?
A rocket-propelled grenade. From a harbor patrol that they were aiming for a drug dealer. Now, here's the thing. You have to understand, the Pacific Coast does not have a lot of drug... they don't interdict a lot of drug traffic that far north. Most of it is along the Mexican border. Unlike in Florida, where you have the enormous coastline of Florida, and frankly, you have the coastline of several other states that are basically parallel. On the West Coast, the further north you get, the more chances you run into of being a stop. So most of this takes place down around San Diego. What happened to Terry was he was coming out of Newport Harbor, and there was an individual that the Coast Guard had chased in, and a Harbor Patrol came out to meet him, and they suspected him of having drugs.
This was another boat.
It was a rather large fishing, commercial fishing vessel, but it was wide open, and tried to get away. Well, a rocket-propelled grenade or some sort of ordnance was fired from the Harbor Patrol.
Now, since when do Harbor Patrol boats have?
I don't know, and that's why I asked Terry, because I said, "Are you sure this was Harbor?" He said, "Well, they had the siren going, and the next thing I saw was a rocket." He said, "I didn't have time." He said, "I cleared," the way he put it is, he said he cleared the port side, and he glanced at his watch as he was diving off. It was 3:02 exactly when he cleared the port side. The RPG hit the amidship. That would be the middle of the boat. About Terry figures around 3:02, and it hit the side and blew a hole in his boat. The boat did not sink immediately, but it blew a good sizable hole, and it was on fire, and it was leaking fuel. Terry climbed out of the water back onto the boat, and they're still chasing this fishing boat. And they finally were, they basically said to the fishing boat, heave to or I will fire on you. Do you know Morse code at all, Phil?
No, I don't.
Well, in the Signal Corps, you know, especially the Navy, you will flash to any craft that you are pursuing, and that you want it to heave, you want it to slow down and stop. You say, heave to, and in the case of this Coast Guard, heave to or I will fire on you.
Okay. Did they give the same warning to Terry?
Well, we're assuming they weren't aiming for him, that they were aiming for, but Terry seems to think he did see heave to, and then came the grenade. When Terry got out of the water, the boat was on fire. He got the fire extinguisher, put that out, and attempted to get it back into the harbor, but it was, at that point, taking on a lot of water, losing a lot of fuel, and that's when he just, it sort of just scuttled right there. He had a life preserver and waited for pickup, and it never did come until he was able to signal somebody around 7, 8 o'clock as the sun was going down, and they came over and asked him what he needed.
Wait. He this is getting really interesting.
Well, it's an absolute outrage, first of all, that his boat was blown to bits.
Well, his boat was sunk slowly.
Yes, it took... He got back on board, and...
Well, what I want to find... I'm sorry to interrupt you, Ron.
Well, I've got a certain lineal... I've got a way of... I want to tell this... I've told the story about a half a dozen times the same way, if you'll just let me...
We're going to have to break here in a minute, though.
All right.
I just want to know... You said he dove off as he saw the grenade coming toward him?
Yes, he dove off as he saw the grenade, and he glanced at his watch as he was diving in, because you can imagine as you dive, your arms are extended in front of you, so he pulled it back to look, and it said 3:02. And the reason why he was looking at his watch is because his wife was preparing a dinner party for 4:30 back at their condominium. And
so this guy has the presence of mind as a grenade is coming toward his boat to look at his watch to make sure he's on time for a dinner party?
I don't know why he did that, Phil. All I know is that it was instinctive.
Okay, so did he see the boat get hit?
No, when he came up for... He heard it underwater. He heard the concussive sound of it. And when he came up for air, he saw his boat was on fire. He climbed up out of the boat. He climbed up out of the water, got the fire extinguisher, put the fire out. He saw he was leaking fuel and taking on water, and he figured the only thing he could do is fire it up and get it close to, you know, some sort of salvageable area, which he was not able to do.
So the boat, how long before it sunk?
I don't think it was more than 30 seconds, I think.
30 seconds?
If that, maybe 15 seconds.
Well, so how far did he get?
Well, he got only a few feet, and then it just went down.
It sounded to me like he might have made it close to the...
No. They finally called me, and I was busy, but they didn't see him until about 6:45, 7 o'clock that evening.
This is an interesting story. This is far more interesting than what we were going to talk about, which is who gets, how do they compensate people who got their homes damaged during the firefight with those Marathon bombers. We'll be back. We got Dr. Ron Tarner with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in the world-famous Phil Henry. It's not in the world. He's in Denver. He's in Colorado. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, spit it out, man, while you still got the breath of life in you to do the... Yeah! Yeah!
Phil Henry.
Hurts, don't it?
Yep.
I don't know. We got to ask Ron Tarner with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. Do you think, Ron, did you see the picture of B. Arthur we have on our homepage?
I didn't hear you. Say that again?
Did you see the picture of B. Arthur?
Picture of B. Arthur? No, I did not.
Well, we have a painting, a famous painting that was done of her topless from 1991.
Did she pose for that?
We don't think so. We think it was just sort of an art piece done by this art. I don't know, though. I guess I should find out. John Curran. But the more I look at it, the more I'm thinking maybe it was not very respectful of me to put it up there.
I think he should take it down.
Well, hold on. You're talking about a topless picture of B. Arthur.
Yes, sir.
And this is on your homepage. If I could...
Yeah, it is.
I've got a mobile device. I don't want to... I'm driving, so I'm not going to... But I'm still a good 15 miles from my home, but 15, 14 miles. We just went by Flagsburg. I would ask you don't take it down, or what's the name of it?
It's called B. Arthur Naked. I guess you can...
Can I find it online?
Well, hold on for a minute. What is the point of your...
That's neither here nor there, Margaret. What do you mean, what is the point? I'm asking, can I find it online?
Yes, sir, you can.
Why are you resenting my question?
Why are you asking it?
Because I want to know. It sounds to me like you want to get home to look at it first.
Well, it sounds like you are asking a question that is none of your business. That's what it sounds like to me.
And am I right about my assumption?
No comment. Am I right about mine?
No comment.
Okay, so we've gotten nowhere with that.
Well, I resent a little bit, Phil. I'll tell you what I resent. Of her talking to me like I'm a recalcitrant altar boy, like I'm a 10-year-old boy who found a 10-year-old boy might be gold on a railroad track, and he's trying to get back to his house without his mother or father seeing it so he can dry it out on the clothesline. And then he's 10 lousy years old. When's the closest time he'll see a naked woman? In another 10 years or 5? Who knows?
What is your point of this ridiculous drivel?
It's not. Excuse me, miss.
Well, thank you for calling me miss. I've been called miss in a long time.
Well, but I want to say this.
Well, hold on for a minute. We're getting way off the point here. I want to talk to you about Charles Darwin.
I want to talk about Charles Darwin. And I wanted to talk about... But B. Arthur Naked is not the topic. You're asking, it's with the way Miss Gray was talking to me.
All right, Margaret, you were asking a question that's probably none of your business.
Yeah, what'd you talk about a kid with a clothesline?
Yeah, he started to babble about something.
No, I'm not babbling about. What I said was the following thing. If you're a 10-year-old boy and you're walking down a railroad track and you find... A picture from a filthy... All right, we'll call it what it is, a filthy magazine. And this is a picture like none other you've seen. And all you want to do is somehow get back to your house. All you got to do is get back the 4 or 5 blocks, get that picture in the house without your mother seeing it, dry it out...
Hold on for just a second.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Yeah, but this sounds like something I told you that me and my brother did.
Oh, wow. Get you. You're admitting it.
Yeah, we were kids. That's exactly what we did.
Wait a minute. Did you... You went down a railroad track.
There was a railroad track that ran behind our house. It ran across the street from our house. We had Colorado Boulevard, and then there was a railroad track.
You went down there looking for nudies and stuff?
That's okay, that's where I heard the story.
Well, yeah. And we would walk down these railroad tracks, and for some reason, I don't know how or why, we would find pages from these magazines, you know, like it was before Penthouse, and it was way raunchier than Playboy. I mean, it was, you know.
So you got the full, you were getting full, shall we call it an aerial shot of the forest?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what you're getting.
Hold on for a minute, will you?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out.
They were very, very graphic. So we would take these pictures back to our bedroom, and we strung a clothesline up in there where we would hang them and dry them out.
That is absolutely... So, and your mother found out?
Eventually, yeah, she did.
Well, okay, so that's where I heard the story.
Yeah, and you know what? You got no right talking about my stuff. All I'm trying to say is, do you think that picture should come down?
And do you mind if I look at it first?
Well, you can go and look at it online, as I said, just about anywhere.
Right, but I don't want to feel like the furtive 10-year-old boy. And that's what Margaret's treating me like. You know, like I'm going to go home, and there's spit coming out of my mouth, and there's perspiration dripping on the keyboard as I am frantically pounding away on the keys looking for B. Arthur with no bra on. Do you know what that makes me look like to myself?
Well, nobody else knows you're doing it.
Do you know what it makes me look like to myself? When I stand up from that keyboard and I look in the mirror and I see a sweating red face with veins bulging at the temples, and I'm disgusted with myself.
Well, then I would suggest you not do it.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to another man. I'm disgusted with myself.
What are we talking about now? Are we talking about the fact that you need to see this picture?
I am telling you, just let it go, will you? Leave the picture up. Let me get home, and I can get my prescription glasses on, because right now I've got the old prescription, and I can spend 5 minutes looking at it. That's all I ask.
You know, I think that this is pornographic, this entire conversation.
Wait.
No, hold on. I think you and your obsession with B. Arthur...
I don't have it. Mr. Henry's the one...
Hold on, wait. You want to go home, and you want 5 minutes to look at this thing... And you're sympathetic to 10-year-old boys that are hanging nude pictures from clotheslines to dry them out. You know, the whole thing is just...
Yeah, pretty weird.
I find it strange.
I think it's strange that we're talking about this at all, and that we're off of Charles Darwin and whatever it was that we were talking about before this ridiculous, asinine conversation took place. Okay?
Well, all right, Phil, but are you taking it down?
No, I won't take it down.
Thank you, God.
Oh, all right, so you're leaving it up so he can go home, take a look at it, and pow.
Yeah, you're going to let him go home, take a look at it, and get the paddle out? Yeah, I'm sure. Ow!
Don't talk that way in front of me. All right, I know you're looking at B. Arthur and you're imagining it's me. Well, it's not. Thank you. Thank God for that.
You mean yours? Well, I better not say.
Yeah, you better not say.
Margaret, since you brought it up, you're saying that yours don't look like B. Arthur's.
I'm going to leave this...
All right, hold on. Let's not... Forget it. We're not talking about it anymore.
Oh, come on, will you?
No. Thank you very much. And I'm getting that... As soon as we go to break, I'm changing that picture.
You said that you wouldn't.
So now he's bawling.
Are you honestly crying?
No, I'm not crying, but he said he wouldn't.
All right, I'll leave B. Arthur up. Is it,
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Tyler, it doesn't make you look good all, getting all, oh, thank you and all that, on account of some old lady's boobs.
Yeah, they're pointed directly south.
I don't care. It's none of your business. What I do with my private time is none of your business. Now, Phil, you wanted to talk about what?
I wanted to talk about, you know, it's too late now, but I think it's too late now. I wanted to talk about this article on Charles Darwin, and allegedly Charles Darwin's Tree of Life, which I think most of us have seen when we were in high school taking biology. The Tree of Life, which shows how species are related through evolutionary history, is wrong and needs to be replaced according to leading scientists.
That is not to say that evolution doesn't exist. It's simply to say that the way evolution took place was different from the way scientists first envisioned it.
Okay. Now, according to the story, the great naturalist first sketched how species might evolve along branches of an imaginary tree in 1837, an idea that quickly came to symbolize the theory of evolution by natural selection. But modern genetics has revealed that representing evolutionary history as a tree is misleading. with scientists saying a more realistic way to represent the origins and interrelatedness of species would be an impenetrable thicket.
What's that?
An impenetrable thicket.
Say it again.
An impenetrable thicket.
One more time.
Will you guys get out of here?
I'm just trying to figure out how to spell it.
Look it up.
See, I never understand if people tell you to look it up and you don't know how to spell a thing.
Impenetrable. What do you think the first two letters are?
Well,
what are the first two letters of impenetrable?
Well, I'm going to be home soon, and that B. Arthur's burning a hole in my mind. And
all right, we'll get to the burning a hole in your mind.
Yeah, what a perv, man. You gotta talk.
I'm not a perv. I respect and admire her. I simply wanted to say, Phil, that yes, the impenetrable thicket idea is far more realistic, because what that basically says is that there wasn't this very pure orderliness to the evolution of species coming from one branch to a tree, branch to a tree, log. What do you call the thing? What's it called?
What do you mean?
What's the middle part?
The trunk.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Yes, it's the trunk.
The trunk? That's what you put stuff in the back of the car.
The trunk of the tree. Tree trunk.
The trunk of the tree. Tree trunk.
You know, Phil, I'm asking a simple question. You don't have to come off like Rocky the Squirrel.
Wait. Hold on. Now you're mocking me. You're the guy that was bawling because you couldn't see B. Arthur's boobs. Okay?
Yeah.
Who's doing the laughing, please?
I'm not going to tell you.
Who's doing the laughing, please?
I'm not saying. We're going to stick to the point.
I know who it was. It was that Robert.
No, I don't know. It was.
Okay, that leaves Bud. Now.
So?
All right, I'm just making a note. The point that I'm making here, Phil, is that the tree trunk was the. That's the word you want to use?
Yes.
Okay, fine, great. The tree trunk, I don't like the word only because I heard, well.
Well, what?
They compared John Holmes to a tree trunk once, and I got insecure.
What?
Wah, 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 wah.
Why are you mocking me?
Because it's coming through the phone as if you're mutating into an elf or something, okay? What I'm saying to you is this.
Let's forget about how I'm talking, and let's make sure that we don't force me into talking that way. I want to hear you describe the evolutionary theory that was Darwin's, the evolutionary theory that are the modern scientists, and why the modern version is better.
And his name was Darwin, not Darling, okay?
I know it's Darwin, not Darling.
You said Darling.
You did, Phil.
Okay, we all done there with nitpick number one of what's going to be a whole night full of them?
Yeah, that's all I would say. The thicket is far more realistic because we didn't all spring from this large trunk. Instead, we sprung from a variety of trunks, and they all sort of intertwined the way a hedge would. If you know what a hedgerow is, that's more like it. The single trunk theory is most likely related to the hominids. You could say that the human came from one particular trunk of this thicket, and the hominids evolved from this trunk. But when it comes to all of the different species, whether it's a fish, whether it's a...
What about porcupine?
Whether it's a porcupine, whether it is a...
Like a raccoon or something?
Yes, a raccoon. Any animal at all.
So a raccoon chipmunk?
All of the animals, as he's saying, okay?
All of them, yes.
Well, you said fish and then raccoon.
I didn't say raccoon, he did.
All right, fish, raccoon, all of them, they come from their own different trunks intertwining in this hedge.
Yes, exactly. All right, I'm almost home now. Oh, thank you, God. I'll be getting out of the car. I'm going directly to my den where I'm going to fire up my laptop, and I pray to...
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Ron Tarner, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Have fun with the B. Arthur painting. And thank you for a whole lot of nothing once again. I mean...
Well, I don't know why you have these people on the show and you don't get to talking about what you want to talk about till the very end.
Because I get sidetracked, Margaret, by you.
Who, me?
Yes, you. I get sidetracked into talking about... God knows, B. Arthur and what he's going to do and whether he's a 10-year-old and does he have a clothesline in his house where he can dry out pictures that he finds on a railroad track. And it's all about me. We'll be back, Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You really stepped in it there, didn't you?
Should we change the picture?
Well, I think it's more... Why did you do that?
You didn't like B. Arthur topless, right?
Yeah, you changed it to a Marine Corps one. Margaret's all mad and everything.
She... No. No. But I don't think a militarist view of B. Arthur... People are going to think that I'm being a pain in the ass.
Yeah, well, pretty much, yeah.
If any man, yeah.
Margaret, she was in the Marine Corps, okay?
Now you're letting everybody know that. B. Arthur didn't want people to know that.
She denied it for a period of her life and probably was a... I don't know why. I can speculate, you know.
Look at that picture of her. It's this big butch. Oh, God.
I like it. It's a great picture. She was very pretty, very attractive woman when she was young. And it's a picture we put on the homepage here of Bea Arthur in the U.S. Marine Corps in 1943. Now, why she denied being in the Marine Corps, I can only speculate. Like I said, it could very well have been because of the anti-war movement. Hollywood got... You know, Hollywood was always very liberal. And all of a sudden, the military fell out of favor for whatever reason. I don't know why. Vietnam, I don't know what the thing was. But the military was, for a while in our country, not looked upon with favor by certain people, a certain generation. So maybe that's why.
Well, I think that showing... Look, she looks like a big butch... One of these... What do they call them?
You call it like a jughead.
Don't call it jughead, man. Call it jawhead.
It's a what?
It's a jughead, I thought.
Jarhead. And it's not exactly the most flattering term. And I don't know if you even call a female Marine a jarhead, because they don't cut their hair in any particular way, you know. But, yeah, she was in the Marines. And she was in the Marines during World War II, 1943. And this is the picture of her. Is a very nice picture, but she's definitely got that Marine Corps stare on her.
Yes, she looks like... The thing that I don't like about it is that it has that... She's got the glare. It's the last face a lot of Japanese saw before the...
Before the bayonet went in.
Hey, watch it, will you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. B. Arthur, our beloved B, and there's the mug that some... Poor man with the samurai thing around his head.
Well, she didn't go and bayonet anybody. What are you talking about? She might have been stateside.
We don't know that, and that's probably why she didn't want anyone to know. Now, I shouldn't be talking out of school, but it's very likely that B. Arthur took a... That she took a few lives. She was a life taker and a heartbreaker.
Oh, get out of here with the heartbreak ridge, okay? No female was in combat...
Porky, I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Get out of here. No female Marine was in a combat unit, you know, so she was most likely...
What, typing?
Unfortunately, probably, yeah.
But you see, unfortunately, man, it'd be better fortunately. If it's unfortunately, but it's fortunately.
Yeah, fortunately.
What? What did you just say?
It's fortunate. It's not, it would have been unfortunate.
What would have been unfortunate?
No, but fortunately she was.
Fortunately she was what?
But too, unfortunately...
Somebody speak some English here. You talking about fortunately she would have... Who is that?
It's David, I'm sorry.
Oh, for God's sake. Hey, David, what's up?
First of all, when I call a program, I would rather have someone say, oh, Mr. Hall is on the phone. It was just a wonderful... Oh, God, it feels so good. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want you to approximate an orgasm, but it would be a lot better than what you're doing here, which is, it's almost as if Torquemada's taken the last of your fingernails. Now, the reason why I called up, okay, is to break the stalemate in this fortunately, okay?
Well, we didn't need you to call up and do that.
Well, why not?
Because it ought to be, if I had three intelligent people I was talking to...
Oh, look at this, David, he's blaming us.
Yeah, you know, Phil, you got to start taking responsibility.
I'm telling you that the three of them were going, fortunately, fortunately.
I didn't say fudge.
No, we're talking about fudge.
See, this is what we've got to deal with. Now he's drifting into the whole... He's drifting into the topic of fudge, and you know where that goes.
Yeah, look, Phil, I understand that you push the boundaries, but if you start getting into fudge or anything that you do with it, you got me to deal with.
I'm not... Number one, pal, I didn't say fudge.
All right, well...
You fudged it, though.
Yucks! Ah! Yeah! I did that, David, not Phil.
I don't hit Bud. She does.
Good. As long as the woman's doing it, we can sell it to a jury. Now, look, what I'm trying to say is the following thing. If you are there and you have control of the show, exercise some of that control. They're saying, fortunately, unfortunately, fortunately, unfortunately. What they're basically saying is, fortunately, she did not bayonet any Japanese soldiers. Unfortunately, she was in the Marines. Is that what you're saying?
No, we're not. I'm saying, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Yes, we are saying that.
So you're saying, unfortunately, she was... What's unfortunate about that?
Well, they say it was unfortunate from the standpoint of
Do you mind if they answer?
They can't answer now because there's the break.
Thank you, David, for running interference for us. I'm saying, unfortunately, she was in the Marine Corps, but fortunately, as a Marine, she would have had the unique opportunity to
bayonet some...
Yes, to bayonet an enemy soldier, although she didn't... But looking at her face in this Marine Corps picture, I'm imagining a thirsty and starving Japanese soldier on Okinawa glancing up from the few scraps of rice that he has left in a bowl, only to see Maud glaring at him.
All right, you get the idea.
Yeah, I do get the idea. Thank you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Henry. Good God.